terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least. Armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
It never fails in Scripture. When David come along, beats Goliath, when he's killed 10,000 guys in the army of Saul, what happens? Saul turns on him, right? Now, if David hadn't defeated anybody and wasn't doing anything, Saul wouldn't have been bothered with him. Okay, baby Jesus is born in Bethlehem, right? Nobody's killing the babies in Bethlehem before that. But when the enemy finds out, you know, he knows Scripture pretty good, but he never seems to get it right. See, he didn't even know it was coming. But all those babies get killed in Bethlehem after that baby's born. Our problem is we get going on victory. We've gone around a bit and God's taught us a lesson. Be ready to have that lesson tested. I know you've worked 5, 10, 8 years to get out of debt, and you've got it, you're walking in victory. You've called Dave Ramsey to tell him, you know, on his show, I don't know if you know that, we got out of debt. You tell your friends, you give a testimony to your family members in the church, and about that time the car breaks down, the refrigerator breaks down, the house needs a new roof, and when the kids get sick. And you're going, how am I paying for this? Those 10 things, and that's exactly what's happened. These guys have seen the victories that Israel's began to walk in, and they come along now to deceive. So Joshua says to them, who are you and where do you come from? To me, this is like asking a politician if they're lying, or asking the foxes to watch the hen house. You're asking the liars to tell you where they came from. I don't know about you, but I'd ask for more proof. Why? No history. I don't have any history. They don't have any history with these guys. Where are you from? Well, we're from, how do I know that? But they sure know the right words. I said, they've already talked about all the things God did. And if you see later in chapter 24, when Joshua, or verse 24, when Joshua finds out who these guys really are, listen to what they said. It was certainly told your servants that the Lord your God has commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land. How did they know that? How do they know what Moses has been dead a while now? How did they know what Moses commanded? Maybe they had somebody listening at Shechem, maybe? Remember how we talked to those two amphitheaters and all the sound carries? And destroy the inhabitants of the land before you. Therefore, we feared greatly for our lives because of you. Oh, you even know our Bible. You even know what Moses said. Well, then if you know the Bible, you got to always tell the truth, right? So then they even gave it, coming along, look at it, says, look, when we left the house, our shoes were in good shape, our clothes were in good shape, our wineskins were in good shape, and our bread was fresh. Look at our bread's crumbly, our shoes are wore out, and we got these old clothes and old wineskins. Anecdotal evidence. You know what? I've seen it in the church a million times. When somebody comes into the church, yeah, I'm one of you. I know the right words, and I can look the part, but no history. And that's one of the reasons why here, at least at our church, if you're new here, you don't even talk to me about being, I mean, you can volunteer to sweep the floor, but that's about it. You're not going to be on worship team. We got to have some history together. I'm going to be straight. Maybe I'm just supposed to wait for the eebie-jeebies of God to come upon me in the handwriting of the wall or something, okay? But we're looking for some history to know you're in it with us. And here's what the men of Israel say in verse 14:50. So the men of Israel took some of their provisions. In other words, he looked at it and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them, with the covenant with them, and let them live. And they made a pledge with the whole congregation. And they did not ask the counsel of the Lord. I thought that's what they were learning at I. I didn't. Oh, come on, don't tell me God's ever had to teach you things twice. You never had to do it again. Because you're so smart, you learned the first time. What's interesting, why was Moses kept out of the promised land? His temper. Why did he get thrown out of Egypt? His temper. He didn't learn either. David, who has the whole Bathsheba thing, right? When he gets old, they're not sure he's still breathing. How do they test David? Does anybody know? This is put a maiden in his bed and you'll find out if David's still alive or not. Wait a minute. You think David in his old age would have got past that thing he had with Bathsheba, wouldn't you? They knew him well enough because they had some history. That this is all you're going to test is David's awake or alive or not, even in his old age. So all through the Bible, we see these kind of and I like that about the Bible. It shows the weaknesses of the heroes that they too have to be hit in the head a couple times before they get it. I'm not the only one. So, but they even have the law on their side. They got a biblical mandate. Listen to this out of Deuteronomy chapter 20. We'll be starting in verse 10. And when you draw near a city to fight against it, offer them terms of peace. And if it responds to you peacefully and opens to you, then all the people who are found in that city will become basically slaves. You make a treaty with them not to attack their city, and they become slaves. Okay? And thus shall you do all the cities that are far off, which are not the cities of the nations here. See, I could hear the discussion. Well, let's look at their shoes. Look at, well, you know the law of Moses. I mean, they know the law of Moses too. So they know, we can make a treaty with these people. The Bible gives us permission to do that. Anybody that's on Wednesday nights, coming Wednesday night, should already be getting a clue where I'm going with this one. That's only part of what's said there. You got to take the details. It says this, two cities that are far away when you come to them, that are not of this nation, of this area, of this place, okay, that are not of the nations here. This is why I think the passage tells us that the Gibeonites are Hivites. Because God said, go in and kill all the people of these particular groups. And Hivites was one. They didn't take time to ask them who they were, of what lineage they were. If they're so far away, they wouldn't be of one of these groups. Kind of like they would tell you the truth anyway. And so it's all, also, here's the other part. It doesn't say if they approach you. Did you notice that? It says if you come to a city, you can offer them a peace treaty. It doesn't say that if they come to you, give them one. The details of Scripture are there for a purpose. They're not there to just fill an empty space. So much, particularly on Wednesday nights, as we study false doctrines and the cults and things like this, how they use Scripture. They know it. Okay? The Jehovah's Witness or the Mormons show up at their door. I'll bet you 10 to 1 they probably know the Bible better than you. And I look at here, and I get your texts, and I get your emails, and I get your phone calls. You know, they came to my door, and they said, what do you say to that? Because that's true. No, it's not. You don't get to take a little piece of it. You take the whole counsel of God, okay? You take the whole counsel of God in the process. All of it. So, and forgive me for using the same example, okay? But I think this hits most people. I get this all the time. Tithing is of the law. Well, let me ask you a question. Why did God bother to ask them to tithe? We know that. It's the principle of what? Divine portion. God always has his portion, whether it's one tree in the garden, whether it's one people or so on. The principle of divine portion. He always has that. We have the principle of type and anti-type. We talked about that. Remember, we've talked about that kind of thing. So I take Scripture as a whole at what it teaches. If anything, I would have to say this, tenth ain't enough. Based upon the type, anti-type. No, I'm not saying you have to tithe in a legal sense. I don't mean that. But when somebody just says that's law, well, you base that on what? The portion of Scripture that talks about it, that's the law. Well, you got to take where all of Scripture talks about it, and it has nothing to do really with just a tenth of the thing. It has to do with more than that. It has to do with end times, the fulfillment of end times. We've talked about that before, okay? You got to take Scripture as a whole. So we looked at a couple night Wednesdays ago on universalism, that is all people go to heaven. So Jesus, see, you take the scriptures where it says Jesus came to die for the sins of the whole world. See, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. He atoned for everyone's sin everywhere in all times and all places. Therefore, everybody's saved. The problem is, all I have to do is find one scripture where one person doesn't have their sins atoned for and solves that problem. And we actually showed scriptures on Wednesday night where the Bible says your sins will never be atoned for, particular groups, okay, particular people. Your sin will never be atoned for. So that throws that out the window. But if I just took those scriptures that sin for the whole world, atoned for the world, everybody in all times and all places are saved. Okay, so you can't take one scripture. It's the whole counsel of God's word that you take from front to back, including the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is simply the New Testament concealed. You want to figure out the Old Testament, and you can't figure out what they're talking about. What do you plug into it? Jesus Christ. Then you'll understand it. We talked about that last week with the Ark of the Covenant. So that's the one thing they did is, wait a minute, you can make peace treaties under these conditions and in this way with these people, and this doesn't fit that pattern. I thought about giving some other scriptural examples this morning, but I think that would probably upset too many people, particularly those that listen by media, and I don't want to get the emails where we twist scripture. I'll just give you another simple example. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means all people everywhere in all times have sinned, right? No. That is true that all people in all times have sinned, because you've got to keep reading. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God kind of thing, and are justified. Ooh. Who's the sinner? Us, the justified. We all are sinners. That's the context of it. The principle is true. I could show you from other scriptures that all men are sinners. All of all times and all places, all the human race. I can do that. But that particular scripture, we've taken out of context so much, we don't recognize just the next line. For God so loved the world that he gets... See, the whole world. Would you please keep reading? Whosoever believes... That automatically takes the world to whoever believes, right? And so those are just some examples, and I had much more controversial ones that I thought about bringing it up, but I'll leave it alone. So this how the enemy works. Because he comes on, didn't Satan use God's words to tempt Eve by adding one word? Just by adding one word. This is why we're not to add or subtract from God's word. This is a battle they should have fought, which gets fought later, by the way. But the lie that they heard and received, based on some outward appearance and not a full look at Scripture and not consulting God, caused them to, they were moved by that to compromise with the enemy. And don't tell me you haven't done it. That you've never taken clips from the office, paper clips from the office, and you've justified it because he doesn't pay you enough anyway. And I mean, these are just a few paper clips. Or you show up late, you show up early, or leave early, whatever it is, and you don't write it down on your time card. But, oh, he doesn't even give us insurance anyhow, so he deserves. And we justify it. We do the same thing. We compromise with the enemy. Well, lying's wrong. Well, you know, not if it's going to hurt somebody. Then you lie a little bit just to keep their feelings from being hurt, right? We whether you say it or not, we practice that one. Any married man does anyway. By the way, young people, if you love each other, it's okay. Yeah, that's what the Bible says, all right. Yeah, sure. Well, we're under grace. Oh, I love that one. Antinomianism. You know, we're under grace, so we can, again, show me that one in Scripture. All right, but we do that. We do the same thing. We make these compromises. And again, I had this going before Sunday, right? Because I know the scripture. So don't think I'm making these things up for you because you're here today, all right? And I like this out of the NIV, all right? But among you, there must not be even a hint. Or in other versions, let it not even be named. It should not even be considered. Sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. Or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Let me ask, young person, how much is a hint? How much is even be considered? But I'm telling you, when I was a youth pastor, here's one question you got all the time. Well, pastor, how far is okay? and when do we go too far? Well, let me tell you, how much is a hint? They sure didn't like that. They didn't want to hear that. Okay, they want to hear if you love each other, it's okay. That's what you want to hear, or if you're trapped in the wrong kind of gender body, it's okay. There's a story, a little anecdotal story here of a hunter. That winter was coming and he needed a warm coat for the winter, so he goes out to hunt a bear. And so he confronts the bear and gets ready to shoot, and to his surprise, the bear can speak, because this is my story. And the bear says, whoa, what do you doing? You don't be shooting me. And he says, wait a minute, I'm cold. And he says, the bear's hungry. I'm hungry. Let's compromise. So the bear ate the fellow. He was warm now. That's what compromise with sin will get you, devoured. It never works. I know you think you're the only one that can. You're the one that can work late night with your secretary, and you will never think of having her. I know you won't. Till she starts telling you how much more wonderful you are than her husband. She starts telling you all the things your wife hadn't told you in 20 years. Okay? I know you think you're the only one that can. Well, my situation's different. I get this one, and I've heard that, and I heard this a lot as a youth pastor. Well, my kid's a good kid, though. Yeah, he's still a kid. He's still a teenager, you know, with a not fully developed brain yet. Okay? And I know you think he or she would never. Be careful when you think that way. When you see someone else sin, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, lest you yourself fall. When you look at the other person, when you look at a homosexual and you go, I don't understand this. I'd never. Try not to say that, because you'll drop your guard somewhere. Maybe not in that particular area, but you'll drop your guard because I will never. The Bible's full of guys who ever thought they'd never. So to keep from being deceived and falling, there's more than this, but two basic things. Know the whole counsel of God. That's right out of Bible. Know your word from front to back. Know why you believe what you believe and how to defend that. So when the deception comes, okay, right? Since God's the creator of all things and there's evil in the world, God's the creator of evil. See how easy that is? Defend that. Tell me that's not true. Go ahead. You're going to quander that one. That one's been quandering for 2 millennia. You got to know all the counsel of God. And in a fancy words, that's theology. Theo meaning God, the study of God. Okay? And right now we're doing pneumatology on Wednesday nights. You go, what's that? What's a pneumatic tool? Air tool, air. So air. So in Christianity, airology. Anybody have a clue? Air, breath, wind. Holy Spirit. So pneumatology, by the way, is the doctrine and the study of the Holy Spirit. Just in case you wanted to learn some big fancy word today, you can take home and look intelligent. Okay? But the other one is decide in advance what you will do based on number one. Already decide what you're going to do. When you're there with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, teenager, you're at his or her house, and the parents say, hey, we're going out for the night. You guys have fun. You better exit with them. But I know you're a good kid. Well, what's different with us? Again, when your boss, the opposite gender, says, we need to have work late dinners and lunches, and you say no. He says, you're fired. You say, good. When you're late for work, decide right now. Because some of you tomorrow, you're going to be late for work. Decide this. I'm not going to go over the speed limit. That's breaking the law. That's coming against authority that God has established. So you just decide right now. If I'm late for church next Sunday, I'm not speeding. If you don't decide that, we tell it to our young people regarding drugs or sexual issues. Come on, you got to make a decision now. You don't do it at that moment. Hey, parents, same with you. Okay? You've got to make that decision ahead of time. Well, you already got to decide when you get the phone call and hears, have you heard? Or, excuse me, when you get the Facebook post, did you hear? You already know how you're going to respond to their gossip. Oh, it's a prayer request, though, Glenn. It's not gossip. Okay? You already, this is how I'm responding. You have to be proactive. When that male or female person, whatever you thought, your gender, okay, and you're married, and they say that flirtatious word, you better already have in mind what you're going to say and be proactive. When they come, oh, you look so nice at that, more than just a nice comment, and they touch your arm, or you look so, I've always thought you look good, and yeah, you know what? My wife thinks the same thing. You know how great it is. I've been married to her for 34 years, and you know how much, I'll tell you, you shut up the flirt real quick. When the gossip comes along and tells you, says, you know what, I don't know, I just didn't know what the Bible tells me. I shouldn't be talking about other people, so I'm moving on. Trust me, the gossips will stop coming to you. It's being proactive, already knowing how I'm going to respond based upon knowing God's word. I'm already going to respond this way. That's just good wisdom, and I know your parents know it because you tell your kids that, but you actually got to practice it. Now, here's one sort of final side note I want to bring up. Is the people of Israel made a promise to the Gibeonites, and guess what? When they found out they were deceived, they kept it. Ooh. Oh. Well, wait a minute. I thought there was a breach of contract now. I thought I had a reason now to go back on my word, you know. Well, the circumstances have changed now. Man. Remember to leave it the beaver? We wonder why we got so many lawyers. My son is one, so I'm not slamming lawyers. But why do we have so many lawyers? Because we need them. It used to be you shook your hand, that was it, you were in it. When you put on the ring on your finger, you were in it.
That's right.
Until I don't love you no more. Why? Because you didn't treat me right. They didn't treat Israel right. They deceived Israel. But they kept their word. Okay? Now, here's an interesting part, though. Joshua, in verse 23, we find this out in verse 27, that they take the people of Gibeon as slaves. What does he use them for? Anybody know? To carry the water and to cut the wood for the house of God. Whoa, wait a minute. You mean God can use my stupid for his glory? You mean when I didn't get it the first time, Bill, when I've made a mistake and when I've stumbled and when I failed, when I got it, God can use that for his glory? You mean God's that big? You mean God's that sovereign? His providence goes that far? See, God can even take this, then they had to learn the lesson again. Okay? But God says, hey, don't, now I've even taken that in a way to provide for my own house. Now, I do want you to know, though, Saul, King Saul, later in 2 Samuel, goes and kills some of the Gibeonites, not keeping this word. And there's follow this. This vow is made in Joshua's time. Saul breaks the vow. The people of Israel pay during David's reign. There's a famine that comes. David asks why, and God says, because what Saul did to the Gibeonites. Young people, listen to me. Your decisions affect the rest of your life and the people in your life. Okay? But I want you to recognize, I did a lot of stupid when I was young. God can transform that and use that for his glory. Psalms 84 and 18. If I should say, my foot has slipped, your loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. Proverbs 24:16a. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. And then Psalms 37. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong. He won't land on his face. Because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Even when I falter, even when I sin, even when God picks me up and takes that and turns it around in a way that he gets the glory. Not you. He gets the glory. He uses it for his purposes. So I don't want you to sit here today and think of yourself and be condemned. Condemn yourself because you did X. Because you faltered. Because you did this week. Because you did that. You don't understand. What you do is you turn it over to God and say, you know what? On the cross, God, you took care of that before I ever did it. While I was yet a sinner, you died for me before I took a breath, before I thought about going and making a covenant with the people of Gibeon. God, you already made a way for that. You've already made a way that that blood would be the victory. See, even my mistakes, even my sin, my stupid, my selfishness, my temper, my lust, my picket, God can transform it. When you understand that, people say, well, that gives people a license to sin. No, you don't understand. When you truly understand this, this will motivate you not to sin. Why? Out of gratitude, not legalism. Out of gratitude, not legalism. Let's stand. Father, all of us, any of us that's been around a while, have made decisions and did not seek your counsel. Whether it was through prayer, through those you put around us, or through your word, God, we didn't seek it. We made the mistake. We did the wrong thing. God, today we stand before you and repent of our own stupidity, of our own wickedness. But God, we thank you for the cross of our Christ, who has come and set us free from ourselves, that you pick us up when we falter, that nothing shall separate us from the love of our God. Father, help us to learn the lesson that will go to your word and seek your face before we do stupid again, that you might be glorified in our perfection and sanctification, not in our falling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.